That's right. Late Ill Kid at Winyons, the holding it down, bringing that street geek and nerd soul. What is up, my people, today or yeah, coming with another wonderful episode of, that's right, On Screen, Star Trek Discovery. We're back. It's been a long time. We've been waiting for a second. I didn't know if we was going to get Star Trek Discovery or not. You know what I'm saying? Star Trek Discovery, Mandalorian. There were certain shows I was like, I mean, I don't know if we going to get them. You know what I'm saying? I mean, look at Supernatural. Supernatural was like in the middle of the season, it was like powerless. So, we here. We made it. We had the premiere. First thing, I'd like to give a shout out to everybody who came through. Much love to all y'all. Big shout out to all my Patreon supporters. You guys helped me get through the productions. And going in, you know, let me know in them comments. Let me know in the chat how you feeling about the premiere. Because we got aliens, all right? We got alien bugs, all right? We got personal transporters. We got cool ships. We got true serum. We got a whole bunch of stuff that we're going to have a little fun, get through, you know, get together and enjoy the Star Trek Discovery goodness. So, with that said, I think I'll start off with my general feelings about the premiere. It's good to be back. It is. It's good to be back in this world, even though it's a new world, a whole new world. but it's good to be back in this world. It's good to be back with Michael Burnham, and just this awesome tapestry that they're working out for us with, you know, just a decent pace between craziness, because we have no idea what's going on, and also figuring out what she wants to do, where she's going, things of that nature. So, you know, it's something that's truly, truly, you know, giving me those beautiful vibes. So I guess the first thing I'll be, just to let y'all know, if y'all are brand new, never checked out the channel. And matter of fact, 3, 2, 1. Cool, I don't need these no more. So, with that said, the lovely thing about this show that I want to get into is just the way they handle like the different actors and their motivations. But once again, I mean, well, back to what I was saying, if you're new to kind of like my reviews, my reactions. It's part reaction, my emotion, my feelings, part review, getting into what the characters are actually doing. Also, I'm gonna jump around as if you've seen this episode. This is not a watch along. You know what I'm saying? Just letting y'all know, no nerd soul light, you can't have that. Can't have it all on the screen. Nah, we ain't doing none of that. So, with that said, he gonna wild out because that's just how he get down. Because he hating on us today, he trying to stop us, but he ain't gonna stop the shine. All right? He ain't gonna stop the shine. So, with that said, I want to get started off with Book's ship. I want to start off with that. That's pretty light, and it's something beautiful that I enjoy. The ship is like this awesome little knife, and it reminds me a lot of a Star Wars B-Wing, and I just love how it's like this very skinny, linear thing that can flip around and like change its, you know, it's upside down, it's right side up, it's sideways, who knows, but it looks cool while it's doing it. It can like slide into these small crevices. So I love that off the bat when kind of like we open up with this cool scene of kind of like this cat and mouse chase. Also, the sound effects of this cat and mouse game, like the different explosions and stuff as they're rolling along, kills it. It's like the sound design, as someone who's chilling, you know, if you got your 5.1 Or if you're someone that got some dope headphones, like the sound effects in this joint killed in that scene. And I just loved how cool the ship looked. Now, also, just so you know, if you're up in here, I am not the largest, trekkiest of trek people in the world. So if there's, you know, I know there's people that have come through in my previous seasons telling me, you know, this ship isn't supposed to be like that or ship. I don't know nothing about that. I like what I see. It looked cool. The fight, the kind of like dog fight scene was kind of sweet. And we immediately get into Michael Burnham jumping through the wormhole. The cool thing that I like about the ship and the wormhole scene is, once again, CBS spending some money on this show, yo. Like, this show is not a cheap show. And it is, whoo, man, that show is, the level of production and the level of just like the way they shoot it, the angles they're at, even though we know it's all in, you know, this kind of like CGI 3D space, just the way they plot and plan it out is super sweet. And so she comes in, the way she hits the ship, the way she knocks it off course is just, it's so cool. And you don't expect someone her size, even with the titanium suit or whatever she has on, to really affect a ship. But she comes through and pow, knocks the ship off, and it's all crazy. And I just thought that sequence was cool on top of how cool, you know, on top of how cool the actual ship is. Big shout out to Deep House Nation with the super, super chat. Yo, check it out. Big shout out. Thank you for rolling with the super chat. Comment says, got a newborn, so got to run. Just showing some love. Yo, look, hey, look, I know, look, right now I'm at the toddler game, but I know about the newborn stuff. Look, it's tough. If newborn, are you at the newborn level where they're, are they rolling around yet? Or are they at least trying to crawl yet? Or are they just completely immobile? Like, you know what I'm saying? We'll be here. But if you already ran, thank you for the love. Thank you for coming through. And through Book's ship that I like so much, we get to meet Book, who is a character that we find out through the episode is kind of like this true believer. But the second we meet him, he's wrapped, trying to crawl, cool. He's wrapped in just this very, very mysterious nature of the whole prayer thing, the head glowing. Also, like, how'd he get the ship? How does he know about, you know, all of these, you know, these animals that he's able to save? And we kind of like get a little bit more information into it as the episode grows. But his attitude towards Burnham, his attitude towards kind of like the system, as we get to go through the episode, is very cool. And it's nice to see some more of those kind of characters that aren't, at least on first meeting, aren't exactly good, aren't exactly bad. They're kind of just doing their own thing. They're kind of on their Han Solo, just making it work. And of course, through the episode, we find, okay, cool, dude's kind of aight. Dude's not too bad. Dude can handle himself with some fight scenes. He's slick. You know what I'm saying? He can mess around. When they were at the, I forgot, the market, the black market spot that they were at, you know, he can handle himself, get in and out of trouble kind of good. Like I said, he can fight, he can shoot. And he's cool under pressure, which is, of course, someone that we're going to need, because if you saw the preview for the rest of the season, it's not going to be an easy road. But seeing him kind of introduced as early as he was and his attitude towards Michael Burnham, I only have really one word to describe it, which is chemistry. And let me know if I'm bugging, but I felt like these two together, because they spend a lot, most of this episode is them two working it out, maybe butting heads a little bit, working it out, figuring each other out, and also trying to survive together. And I actually love their chemistry, man. Them together on screen, it worked for me. In the promo art, I was worried because I was like, I don't know how it's going to be. How is he going to act? What kind of character is he? And I had like read minimal stuff about like his kind of like character and stuff like that. So I didn't know how it would play. But the chemistry was all right, man. I was like, yo, I enjoy watching these two characters. And since we already love our, you know, our old crew with like Tilly, Saru and stuff, this show will be fine. Which is, before I jump into the further stuff, like the later stuff of the episode with Book, I want to remark upon also the casting on this show, man. Casting on the show has been pretty remarkable. Like, I won't front, from season one with Pike season two with Pike, season one with Michelle Yeoh. Just, man, look, this show, I don't think there's like a whack actor on the show, which is something that helps you, of course, you know, when you have the production's dope, the actors are dope, the writing. This show is pretty much firing on all cylinders as far as I'm concerned. One thing I will say before we jump to kind of like the end segment with Book is, yo, homie that's like in the watchtower or whatever, yo, can I get one of those beds though? Like, you wake up, bed just be like, just disappear. And then we want to sit on a chair, be like, bloop, bloop, bloop. And it just pop up. And then you got fake birds tweeting when you want to wake up. Like, I ain't gonna front. It's actually kind of a decent setup. Like, if you want to save space, there's no better space saver than, you know, than a bed to disappear, chairs to disappear, come back, materialize with little teeny, I don't know, small metal, liquid marble, T2 kind of furniture. I don't know. But I thought it was cool. I liked it, and I wouldn't mind getting none of that. Also, you know, he's in the bathroom just cheese and he brush your teeth and purify it or something, whatever it's saying. It's like tooth cleaning. Yo, look, I'm just saying, can we get to that future? Well, if you've been on my channel before, we've talked about why we can't get to the Star Trek future, unfortunately. See? The society in Star Trek has gotten past a few things that we have not gotten past yet as a society or as a global society. So we still got a couple hang-ups till we get to the world where money isn't even an issue. But I did love that, and I love showing the difference in technology, even though we're going from somewhere with dope technology to somewhere with even doper technology. Because I think they said 938 years or something like that. So, you know, we're going to a super, super mode doper technology to the point where, you know, old boy Book called her stuff antiques. So with Book at the end, seeing that he is, or towards the end, seeing that he is part of this kind of counter, I don't know, maybe counterculture isn't the term, but definitely part of this movement, or for lack of a better word, rebellion. And I know, look, I love Star Wars and Star Trek, so there's no hate for either of them here. But this kind of like this rebellion that's pushing back against these people that are just kind of like taking these animals, you know, poachers, I guess you could say, for lack of a better word. And seeing the sanctuary they set up, seeing how happy he and his other, I guess, sanctuary helpers or other people that are also helping save animals and stuff. Also, he called that slug crawfish the queen. So maybe they need to, you know, replenish their numbers and then they can take them to other planets or something. I don't know. And then just, you know, they don't have to be on the sanctuary. I don't know. But it was nice to see that he, you know, he has his code and he stands for something. And, you know, he does, because at first he was like, I don't want to know your name. I don't want to know nothing. They're like, fool, you know you want to know her name. All right, think about it. like she hit you and knocked your shit down, so you mad. But then when you saw her, you wasn't like mad. But on the real, that and the great chemistry together, then also bringing him to the dude in the Watchtower. And I know it's not the Watchtower. I'm just calling it the Watchtower because I forgot the name of it. But this is a great start, especially knowing that over the course of this 939 years or 38 years or whatever, we had something called the Burn. Don't know what it is. Don't know what started it. So that's a great mystery. Then also the responsibility maybe of, you know, jump starting or restarting the Federation and carrying on the legacy, because you know you're like, yo, I'm going to the future, right? You know what I'm saying? Like, yo, I'm gonna go to the future, so we save everybody, everything's gonna be all good, and the Federation can live. And you get there and they're like, yo, man, Federation is like a couple people. That's about it. Like, dude said he did say he didn't have long range scanners, but he said he only had two ships on his, you know, radar or whatever. Now we got Discovery comes through. We don't know what time they go to. I'm assuming they come to the same time. So let's just say for sake they come to the same time. That's three ships, but you know, it's not a lot of Federation employees or I don't know. Officers, you know, whatever it could be. It's not a lot. You know what I'm saying? I'm just saying she's going to be at the forefront of kind of building, you know, what the Federation will be, because it's held on like a low flame for years and years and apparently haven't been able to enforce anything. So seeing what happens or happened to not only the Federation, to kind of figure out how to restart it, and also what happened to these other people and races and stuff, and like, are they still alive? Like, where are the Romulans right now? Where are the Borg right now? Where, you know, where are the Klingons right now? Where, you know, Bajorans, whatever, you know, where are they right now? What are their Vulcans? What are their, you know, societies look like? And are they completely different than they were before? Are they the same? Are they fragmented? There's a lot of cool things that I'm excited for them to answer throughout the course of this season and the rest of the show, of course. Big shout out to Mr. Black Culture. Greetings to you. What up? What up? Nice to see you. So to move on, I also wanted to make sure that I covered the whole idea of there not being an authority. Which I think we're probably not in uncharted territory in Star Trek, but I would say, and you know, this is, I don't know everything about Star Trek, but it does seem like we are stepping into a place where this is a rare, you know, a rare moment where it doesn't seem like there's anybody in charge. Cause dudes like, yo, Federation ain't here. There's really no Federation. I mean, you got old boy and a couple ships, but it's not like, don't nobody know about the Federation. Federation, old, beat up, decrepit, there's like two ships left. So we're now inside of a universe or galaxy where nobody's really in charge. And we see through the preview with Michelle Yeoh and her character, she's like, oh, I'ma like this. She's like, oh, ain't nobody in charge? Oh, this is the Wild West? This is exactly what I want. So I like that as well. Like, where do you go in a galaxy that had authority, lost authority for whatever reason, and now you're trying to bring authority back? I'm pretty sure people aren't just going to say, well, come on right on in. Come on, authority. Do whatever you got to do. I'm pretty sure there's going to be some dissenting voices and a couple of people that would rather keep things like they are now and never have the Federation return. Or it might be a situation where it's been so long since the Burn that people don't even really remember what Federation, you know, I guess what Federation, I don't know, control was like. But at least we did get to see one of the tore up ships, and I didn't see the tail or the tag number of that ship that was blown up at the beginning of the episode, but we did get to see probably what a lot of the ships now look like after the burn of the explosions that went on with the hulls of the other, you know, the other starships that the Federation had. So for me, I'm like, this opens up a very, very fertile ground for you to kind of do what you want, and you don't have to be tied to I guess older storyline or storylines there were, and you can kind of chart a little bit of your own path. Big shout out to Arcatron in the house. That's right, Space Bridge in stores. Make sure you get it. Go stream it. It's dope. He is that dude. We also got a song that's coming soon, I think. So highlight that too. So besides the idea of all of these things coming to a head, which is like figuring out what started the burn or who started the burn, and then also trying to, I guess, bring back some type of authority, I think there's going to be a lot of commotion and confrontation to be had, which I like about that. Then I also like the idea of Michael Burnham kind of being at the forefront, and her team, I guess, and her ship being sort of at the forefront of bringing it back. Having this kind of like man out of time or woman out of time look at things may be what this galaxy needs to kind of get back on track. Or get back with the Federation. Not like the Federation has always been great, but, you know, maybe they can do it better and, you know, see how it works out for them. let's see. One thing that I did enjoy from an effect standpoint, once again, was the alien slug. Yo, look, when old boy said, close your eyes, I was like, yo, slug is not coming quietly, bruh. This slug is not going to come up in here and be happy. Slug is not going to be smiling. It's not going to be a happy thing. Yo, the slug came out the gate eating people. Last three dudes just teleported out. They was like, look, we don't want no more smoke. And even swallow Michael Burnham to the point where I was like, yo, how are we going to get her back? Like, is she chewed up? Thankfully, you know what I'm saying? Homie busted out the connection, you know, kind of like Star Trekian, you know, connection prayer or whatever to get, you know, the slug to throw up. But it wasn't looking good for Michael Burnham for a second. And even when she got thrown up, like she said, man, you did not expect a day like this. Like, you wake up in the morning, you're not like, yo, look, by the end of the day, by the time I go to bed, I'm going to get mad truth serum, which we're going to talk about in a second, get mad truth serum, and then I'm going to get ate by a slug. And then I'm going to get puked up by a slug. And then I'm gonna find out that the Federation is no more. Like, these are just things that you don't expect, because of course when she lands and finds out there's life forms out there, she's like, yeah, we did it. You see her, you know, celebrating and stuff. She's like, we did it. And apparently y'all did it, but y'all ain't do it. You know what I'm saying? Like, y'all, people survived, but Federation kind of took an L in the burn. But to the alien slug, great effects there. Great effects with the teleportation scenes as well. And then for the black market, which I cannot think of the name of the place at this time, the black market sequence that they had is very cool with the truth serum, because we got a chance to see kind of like some silliness injected into the story, because at that time we had been kind of serious. We had the dogfight, you know, to the crash, to kind of like their fight scene, which I thought was cool too. And pretty also fight scenes choreographed well in this show. But you got a little, you got a chance to see her be like, ooh, this is some good stuff. Whatever y'all hit me with, this is great. So seeing her react, what up, little Miss Chocolate? Nice to see you. Nice to see that she, you know, could kind of play in this space of silly, but not too silly for the show. You know what I'm saying? But with that all together, did I like this episode? Yes. Episode was cool, man. Like, I'm glad it's back. It's back. I was wondering if we were going to get another season. This soon because of COVID. Because they had, you know, greenlit the season, but I didn't know. You know how it is out in these streets. Also, with that said, you guys know that for, I think, 2018, I believe it was 2018, Star Trek Discovery was my favorite season finale of all the whole year. Look, Star Trek, don't mess with me, yo. Don't mess it up. This finale, you got to come with it. But, the idea of her being in a new time, the implications of the burn, how we'll bring back, you know, the Federation. The fight scenes were cool. The running gun from the black market and then on to like the personal transporter. Even stuff where Book is like speaking to nature and reaching out to nature and, like getting the aloe vera or whatever that is that she put on her arm. There's a lot to get into here and a lot to enjoy. And we haven't even added the rest of the crew in, like Saru, Tilly, the doctors, and I can't think of their names at this moment, but and also that new engineer that we picked up in season two. So there's a lot of great players to be involved and be a part where I'm like, yeah, this show is about to be a lot of fun this year. It's gonna be really cool. Dad, I just lost it for a second. Oh, also, do you think that, like, of course, with kind of like the way we're running now, do you think that CBS as a whole, CBS Access, I guess you could say, is handling Star Trek well as a property? And the reason I ask you this is because there was a long time where I was like, yo, why don't they do this? Why don't they do that? They got Star Trek and they ain't doing nothing with it. Then they came back with the JJ movies. Then they stopped that. Then I was like, yo, man, y'all ain't doing nothing. And for a while, I thought that Paramount/CBS, whoever, was just kind of sitting on a property that could be awesome and not doing anything with it. yes, a little bit shocked. Definitely ready to see more. Now with Star Trek Discovery being one of my favorite shows out right now, period, overall with production, acting, writing, all that, and then having Picard, which I'm on the fence on, it's not a bad show. I like the nostalgia. I just didn't like the story they presented in this season. But I'm still on the fence with that show. I'm on the fence leaning positive, though. They also killed a black dude, like, in the first 5 minutes of the show, but it's not for here. We've already covered that. But Picard, that I'm on the fence, but leaning positive. And then with Star Trek Lower Decks, which I thought was real funny and fun, and a great show to kind of like just enjoy where the stakes aren't super high, but they provide a great insight and context into the Star Trek universe. Yo, I ain't gonna front. Even though I'm not pleased about the paywall, if we're gonna get all this stuff from the paywall, because Pike is supposed to get a series, And we still have this series that Michelle Yeoh is supposed to be in. So that's two more series. And there's another animated series that's supposed to go on Nickelodeon. So with, say, two animated series and one, like, four or five shows, something like that, I'm willing to say that if all of them are produced to the level of what we've seen between these three shows that we have now, CBS is doing their thing. That usually I kick around CBS and I don't give them their love. But I will say, CBS is coming through. This is season three. It seems like the quality level is the same. It doesn't seem like the quality level has dropped. I just finished reviewing Star Trek Lower Decks. Really liked it. Thought it was a lot of fun. I will be watching it again. And Star Trek Picard, which I'm not the biggest fan of, but I did enjoy, especially the way they ended this season. You know, the emotional connection and attachment with Data, or what Data is, and seeing Luke, you know, Jean-Luc do his thing. It was nice. It was just, I wasn't fully engaged with the story that they were telling, but I'm willing to stick around and see where they go. So I'll say, you know, let me know what you guys think, but I'll say I'm not mad at CBS right now. I'm not mad at them. Mr. Black Culture says Star Trek purists hate all the new stuff. Yeah, I guess that's you know, that's always to be, that's how it's always going to be. I mean, there was a large contingent of people that were mad about Discovery because it had a black woman in the lead, and then you had Michelle Yeoh, who was kind of like, you know, like pretty much second billing, and she was a woman of color. Then to find out later on that you have a black mother and daughter team with old girl from The Wire, who was Burnham's mother, and then even on Star Trek Lower Decks to have a black mother and daughter team, there's a certain demographic of the purist that are mad just for racist reasons, and they're going to be mad anyway. They'll come up with a hyper specific reason to be mad. Like, they'll be like, the show is too serialized, and I'm like, this is not the first Star Trek show that's been serialized, and it's serialized and good. But then, you know, then there's people that aren't mad from a racist perspective, but are just mad because anything new is, they're not going to like. You know, everybody, you know how it is. There's this idea on the internet where the internet is like, give us new stuff. We want new stuff. I'm tired of seeing stuff based on a book, or based on this, or based on that. Give us something new. Then you give them new stuff, and they say, we want old stuff. Give us old stuff. We're tired of this. And the numbers don't lie. You say you want new stuff, a new movie come out, brand new concept, ain't based on nothing, where the money at? Is it making billions of dollars? Where's it at? But y'all keep saying y'all want new stuff. And then when something new come out, be the first main ones to criticize the joint. So there's kind of like a couple factions. There's a faction that's never going to like anything new because it's not TNG or it's not TOS. And then there's going to be the crew that don't like it because it's SJW or whatever, which is not a thing. It's not, the show is not a social justice warrior, but that's a whole nother argument to be had another time. But so you have those kind of like two factions that are always going to be surrounding new content, of whether it's Lord of the Rings or Harry Potter or Star Trek or Star Wars or any other large property that I might not be able to think of now. Another large property like, I don't know, like Terminator or something. Whatever is well known, there's always going to be the people that was like, I saw the first one, and I don't want to see. It's the first one. That's all I want to see. That's all I want to know. So I don't even worry about that. If I see it and it's dope, I give it love. And this is a show that I have loved since the first episode. It's awesome. It deserves all kinds of accolades. And I think there's still a lot of people sleeping on this show. Like, strangely still sleeping on this when I'm like, stop playing. Star Trek Discovery is that realness. With that said, that's how I feel about the episode, man. Love it. Glad it's back. Can't wait to see more. I do trust Book. I do trust Dude in the Watchtower. But I wonder how their relationships will last throughout this whole building and reorganization kind of thing. Also, how will Book mesh with the old team and however they feel about, you know, Burnham and Book and all that. And then also how they feel about their place in the galaxy now, or universe as a whole, since we know that there's multi-dimensions and we know that we're from the past. So there's a lot to get into there. And I love it. I love this show. Happy that it's back. And it looks like they have not missed a beat. So to the chat, big shout out to all y'all. Mr. Black Culture, Little Miss Chocolate, Arcatron in the house. We got Deep House Nation as well. Much, much love to all y'all. Thank y'all for rolling through. And you can check me out, NERDSOUL, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, all them places. Do not sleep. Because I do my thing. Hit that thumbs up if you like what you see. Hit the thumbs down if you don't. But if you hit that thumbs down, we'll throw you through a wormhole. You don't never know where you're coming out. All right? Might be space slugs. Eat you all up. You don't want that. Podcast if you rather listen. And Spotify for that music. Once again, Arcatron and I got a new joint coming soon. And don't forget the Rent Party right here on Nerd Soul Halloween 2020. Is going to be a lot of fun. So, I'm going to leave y'all with Arcatron. That's right. ArcKatron.com. I cannot wait for y'all to hear this joint because it's dope. And y'all need to go in and stream that album. So, from us to you, that's right, all us. You see all of you see Killmonger, and you see Black Panther, and you see the Armorators, and you see some troopers, you see the turtles. From all us to you. Just saying, yo, thanks for rolling through and peace. Peace. Peace, 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 and a woo for you. We out. Yeah. What?